Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on?
How's everybody's week?
My week was great.
I'm feeling marvelous.
How was your week, boss lady?
Oh, man. They got me, man. I'm writing 3 books at one time and a host of other projects to bring, you know, new, fresh material to the show and, you know, continue to brand build. So, yeah, that's what they got me doing over here. And I'm running like 2 chickens with my head cut off. I leave next week for North Carolina to start this leg of the tour. So I'm busy, 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 busy. Busy.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good thing, Amy.
Yes.
Keeps the brain cells fresh.
Yeah, because I could be over here rotting away.
We don't want that.
No, we don't need that in our life.
How are you, people?
I'm good. I'm feeling real good. Tomorrow's the release of I Used to Love Her.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to be crazy. I'm feeling real good. You know, so that's what it is. Everybody need to go out and get ready to get their copies if you haven't already pre-ordered the paperback. And shout out to everybody that pre-ordered the paperback. Definitely love the love. Appreciate it.
Yes, and I sure did order it. And I'm waiting for mine to come in the mail. I can't wait to see it in my hand in rare form, live and in living color. I'm excited. I love getting books in the mail. It just makes me so happy.
Me too, boss lady. Me too.
I hope
Amazon don't have no shit. Sorry to step on that toe right there, Alicia. We're going to get this show started. Everyone, welcome to our Wednesday night edition of Writing Royalty Radio. My name is Tony, and I am delighted to be with you guys tonight. I'm an avid reader. I love everything relating to literature, which is what Writing Royalty is all about. Our show is dedicated to bringing artists and readers together to build a greater respect for literature. And you can't get anything better than that than when you bring the author and the reader together as one. So I have 2 fabulous co-hosts to my right. We have the beautiful Alicia. And before you say anything, Alicia, I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Tony. My name is Alicia. For all those that don't know who I am, I am the head of Writing Royalty Promotions, as well as the head promoter for Author Mimi Capri and Boss Lady Publishing. I run 4 Facebook groups. This is going to be a great show. Great show tonight. We got 3 hot authors from OWL in the house. So this is going to be great. They're coming to kick it with us in the clubhouse on today. So we're going to have a real good time. I do want to say congrats to T Styles. She is now the CEO of Rich Bitch Publications. If you have not picked up her new banging book, Silence of the Nine, make sure you do so. Make sure you do so. I'm telling you, it's something. I just started. Now, we are all getting ready for the showdown between Cash and Aaron Bebo. Feel My Casket Drop is coming soon, and I'm super excited for that, and I'm ready because I'm Team Cash all day.
I'm saying,
hey, I got it. Huh?
It's your birthday. It's your birthday. Be good.
I am. Also, we got a Trapper Alert. Trapper Alert, author Nini Capri, as she said, will be in Charlotte on the 12th of April, Million. And that address is 14151 Steel Creek Road. I will also post the ad in Writing Royalty for those who weren't able to get that address. And that will be from the hours of 12 noon to 4 p.m. And that is Saturday, April the 12th. So if you want to hang out with author Nini Capri, make sure you head out to Books a Million on the 12th of April. And we also got the number one stunner. That's what I call him. He's the director with the pen, Mr. Aaron Bebo. Did you cook today, B?
No, I went somewhere. I had something. It was crazy. Some real hot, steamy chicken. Just like some real, almost like jerk. It was crazy.
Oh.
Flared out the nostrils. Had me sweating, tearing. Yeah, it was good, though.
Was that a good thing? No.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good thing because I like spicy food, so it works for me.
Well, that's good, Bebo. As long as you enjoyed it.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to add my voice to everyone else and ask you guys to pick up Nini Capri's hot releases. She has the P-Trap series, 1, 2, and 3. P-Trap 4 is on its way, so we'll let you know when to expect that. She also has the Trust No Bitch series, 1, 2, and 3. And 3 just recently dropped, and if you haven't read this series, you're missing out. She shares that hot title with Cash Streetlit author, so please pick those up as well. Nini has an awesome release under G Street Chronicles entitled Tainted. If you don't have that, you definitely have to get that in your library. And part 2 is on the way, so look out for that. And like my co-host says, Aaron Bebo, he has some phenomenal works for you guys to pick up. He has Cupid's Assassin, Punches of Love, which is Cupid's Assassin Part 2, for those that may not know. And he, like you said, he also has that great release tomorrow, I Used to Love Her. I can't wait for that. I'll be clicking at midnight, Bebo. So that's also under the fabulous house of G Street Chronicles. So make sure you cop that as well. And like Lisa said, we're looking forward to that till my casket drops.
Crazy.
2 books, 2 authors, 1 title. Who will wear the crown? People, this is groundbreaking, so you got to be in on this.
Yeah.
So to keep on top of everything hot and new and upcoming, please visit our blog at Boss Lady Chronicles, and that's bossladies14.wordpress.com, Writing Royalty blog at writingroyalty2014.wordpress.com, and you can also visit us at writingroyalty.blogspot.com. Try saying that back to back quickly. That's a tongue twister. So those are all the great ways that you can keep on top of what's happening at Writing Royalty. Keisha, what you got coming up?
All right, this is your birthday. That don't mean that you get to keep leaving the studio because it's your birthday.
I'm not.
Okay?
I didn't know I had something coming up. I ran off everything I had. You can. All of you Writing Royalty listeners, please send your emails to thewritingroyalty@gmail.com to enter into our summer giveaway. We've been getting a few, but we're giving away some hot stuff, and I don't want anybody to miss out on that. So make sure you're sending in your emails.
Yes, yes, yes. It's going to be great. And tonight's subject is awesome that we have for Team Al. Ashley and Jaquavis have put together a phenomenal team of authors. They have so much heat coming up out of their corner. It's great to see two powerful, powerful authors, New York Times bestselling authors, now putting together a powerful team behind them, or what I say, beside them, you know, because they're not looking down on anybody or anything. So those authors are riding right next to them. Under Team Owl, you have J.M. Benjamin, C.N. Phillips, and Danielle Santiago that are here tonight to grace the clubhouse, but they also have Treasure Blue over there, June Miller. We've had Treasure Blue on our show earlier in the year. June Miller is scheduled. He is like the hidden secret in urban fiction. I can't wait to have him on the show. And tonight's focus is on the ultimate hustle. And if you look at the careers of Ashley and Jaquavis, as well as the authors who are coming out their camp, they are known for that hustle, that book hustle, you know, getting those books moving, you know, keeping up with what's current and producing literature that their readers love and enjoy. And I'm honored to have them in the clubhouse. But, you know, we're going to try to define what is the ultimate hustle. Like, everybody has their way that they want to sell their books. Some people are just on E. Some people are just on paperback. Like, we have some authors now that are putting their books out on paperback first. They're doing it in reverse, you know. And then they're coming back to the e-book section. I think that's a genius idea, and they have a different type of hustle. So we want to hear from these fabulous authors, you know, what is their ultimate hustle? You know, what are their goals and where are they going in the industry as we progress and move forward in our genre? So I can't wait to hear what they have to say. But Aaron, let me ask you, what do you define as like the ultimate hustle or a good hustle in this book industry while you're trying to move this product throughout these great readers?
I say the key ingredient is just staying current. You got to have material, and you got to be staying current and relevant, you know. So that's mm-hmm. the key part of your hustle, because it don't matter what the product is, how much product you got. If you can't move nobody, you can't move it if nobody don't know who you are or don't know where you at. So you got to mm-hmm. be staying relevant. That's the key ingredient right there. And once you get that down packed, then you got to have a work ethic like no other. You know what I mean? Like, I always refer back to this because I heard, like, Puffy say this, like, a few years ago. He was talking about his schedule, and he was saying how he only get, like, 3.5 hours of sleep a day. And I was listening. I'm like, yo, damn, this dude worth all these millions. Like, I'm not worth even $1 million, so I can't even afford to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Next, you know what I mean? Right? So, you know, you got to have that type of, you got to be working, you got to be passionate towards what you want. That's like in this game, and it has to, like, honestly, you got to be selfish at some point, or seemingly selfish, because it has to come first, because it requires that much passion that it has to come first. It has to tug at your heart. So if it really ain't in your heart, like, you ain't gonna be able to have the material. You need material. You need to stay current. You need to constantly stay learning, and you need to constantly stay on the move, because if you stand still, you're only going to keep meeting the same people and keep seeing the same people as they go by back and forth. So you got to stay on the move and try to always be kind of meeting new people and become new, innovative, you know, taking what's already there, adding it with something new, you know. That's my idea of what the ultimate hustler would be in this business.
Okay, that's what's up. So definitely, like you're saying, staying current, staying with what's moving, you know. And if you're a veteran in the game, definitely using what has been at your hand and your knowledge and everything that you have gained over the years, but also adding the nuances that come down the pike. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people, we're not still on camels, or, you know, we're not still driving the cars from the 1930s. With slow speed, like, you know, we're in things that's doing 100 and above. So we know that times change and the game will change and the hustle will change. And it behooves you to, you know, change with it and, you know, make adjustments so that you can continue to flourish and continue to be successful in this ever-growing industry, because you have authors coming out, it seems like, every hour sometimes, as well as new publishing houses that are popping up and, you know, doing great things in the industry. So you have to pinpoint a hustle and stick to your plan. You know, like I always say, plan your work, stay wise, and work your plan. And that's just, you know, how I feel about the hustle. You know, have you a goal or goals set, and then don't let anything stand in the way of you moving towards those. Always studying your craft, always looking to see what's going on within the genre and outside the genre, because you can learn a lot of hustle and a lot of different ideas from looking outside of what you're actually doing, you know, even if it's in a different type of craft, but they have something that's innovative that you'll be able to adopt to your program, you know what I'm saying, and continue to move forward and be successful.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. That's what it is.
Mhm. Yep. So I'm excited. I know we're going to be having some great experience tonight as we begin to open up the lines, as we begin to bring our authors on and they begin sharing their journey with us. Our readers, I know they're going to learn a lot. Any authors or publishers are going to learn a lot from their experiences and things that they've gone through, because each one of them has walked in pretty much every facet of the industry, or at least a few of them. So they're going to share some, you know, really insightful information with us.
That's a good thing. And Amy, we've had veteran authors and we've had new authors on, and it's always interesting to hear how they hustle their work as opposed to, mm-hmm. you know, just if it wasn't for Facebook or social media, you know, just to hear how the veterans used to hustle their work. And I remember how some would say they would sell their books out of the trunk of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that these days. That was like a true hustle back then.
Yes, definitely. You know, definitely. When we listen to the veterans talk about, you know, having to write all these different publishing houses and, you know, getting rejected, and, you know, still trying to find a publisher to just, please, put my stuff in a book form, like not having appropriate covers or the binding, you know, pages coming out. But they had a dream, they had a mission, they had goals, and they drove forward. And because of those types of actions early in the genre, we are able now to take the luxury of coming on Facebook and just posting, you know, and having groups. And, you know, that's a hustle within itself, posting in all those groups and making sure everybody knows your work. So we have the luxury of that because, you know, great people came before us and laid down that groundwork so that we could be able to do that today. Yes. So do we have our first call on the line at all? If they're there, we can get those bios popping and get ready to bring them on if the first authors are ready.
Yeah, I think I see everybody. Honestly, I definitely see JM and Danielle.
Okay.
I believe I see CN too.
Okay. Well, we're going to bring the first one on. Go ahead and get those bios read. Let's get them a proper introduction and bring team out in the house.
Okay, I believe we're going to have CN up first. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll read her bio. CN Phillips is a 22-year-old single mother and author who was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska. She fell in love with books at the age of 7 and taught herself how to write short stories at the age of 8. She often kept her writing a secret in fear of being different from other kids, but when she shared her stories with others, they were awed at the talent she had at such a young, tender age. She had one close friend who was more like a sister. She would often tell CN that she had raw talent and not to let it go to waste. She often would write stories and never finish them, but after she had her daughter, she knew it was time to put her talent to real work. No matter how many times she was told that becoming an author was a pipe dream, she pushed herself every day with her writing. She had so much confidence in her writing, she even told Ashley Antoinette, before her book was all the way finished, that she wanted to be her protege. Every spare moment she had, she made sure she was writing to obtain that dream. If she was somewhere and she didn't have access to a laptop, she would continue writing by hand. That's a hustle right there. Her hard work and dedication gave birth to her first complete novel, The Last King. She and Phillips consider herself a chameleon author. Although centered in the urban fiction, she is a lover of the craft itself and doesn't limit herself in what her hand wishes to write. Debo, you want to bring that young, great author in?
Yes. I think this is her right here. 703-664, you are live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse. Good evening.
664, you are live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse.
Good evening. Oh, that's
hello.
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 That's how I'll be sounding.
Hi, hi, this is Kathleen. Hi, Nene.
Oh, hi. Wrong person.
Oh, wrong person.
Nah, sincerely, like, no disrespect. I got to throw you back in the queue. I hit the wrong spot.
Okay.
I thought this was somebody else, but stay on the line because I'm going to bring you back in shortly.
Okay, baby.
All right.
All right.
All right, I guess that's not CM. I definitely see Danielle and JM. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Danielle's bio, and I'm going to bring her in because I definitely see her there.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Danielle Santiago is the author of Little Girl Lost, 2007, Grinding, 2007, and The Allure of the Game, 2011. Also, she is the Essence best-selling, number one Essence best-selling author. She is also a contributing author in the anthology Scream, a novella, Street Love and Fantasy on Triple Crown Publications, and the upcoming Soft Cocaine Love Stories on Urban Books. Her work has been featured and reviewed in Black Expressions, Library Journal, Publishers Weekly, Urban Source, and Black Planet Universal Powered blog Hello Beautiful. Danielle Santiago's Little Ghetto Girl, a Harlem Story, a compelling portrayal of the challenges young women face in underprivileged communities across America, was an Essence Magazine number one bestseller. Santiago wrote and self-published Little Girl in 2002. The book helped her land a multiple deal with Atria Books, a division of Simon & Schuster. Atria reissued the first title and published the next two of the Harlem Girl series, Grinding and the Law of the Game. Always seeking to take her career to the next level, Danielle signed with the Official Writing League, AL, in 2012 after being taped by founders and Ashley and Jaquavis to lead off their elite roster of writers. Danielle recently completed her first novel on AL, The Conglomerate, and is currently at work on The Circle, Fallon Story, a joint collaboration with Ashley and Jaquavis. For Santiago, her life has completely evolved from her former years in the music industry and the street life. She is now a national best-selling author, and her life serves as a backdrop for great fiction. She is now married and a mother of three children. The best-selling author knows that she is blessed with new opportunities to encourage others from running down the same track. Aside from penning novels, her street life adventures inspire her to form the Mischievous Girls Foundation, an organization formed to lead support to misguided teens and battered women. And without further ado, let's bring on, yes, indeed,
that's
let's bring on Ms. Danielle Santiago. Good evening. Welcome to the Writing Royalty Clubhouse.
Thank you for having me. How is everybody today?
Yeah.
Well,
I got it right.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes, the pleasure is ours. We know that you have a phenomenal career. We're happy that you came out to Writing Royalty and shared that with us. We're going to make sure that we try to get you these questions so that you can let the readers see who the author behind the pen is. And there's some more insight.
Oh, no problem. I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. Yeah. Who's running the forefront on this, ladies?
Oh, no, I'll take the floor. I'll take the lead. You don't got to be a lady. You know what I mean? Take the lead. Nah, like, like Nene said, you had a fabulous career. I've read a little bit of your bio. I would like to know more so about, because I've heard you in other interviews speak about, you know, your former, your past, how you was living before and all that. Like, I would like to know how you evolved while you were still writing, because, like, I guess some of that was still going on while you started this writing career early, because you've been doing it.
You know, when I first started, as she, you know, mentioned, as you mentioned in my bio, I self-published Little Ghetto Girl. And I just, you know, for a long time I was 1 foot in the streets and 1 foot, you know, in the publishing world. And this is, it's something that, you know, publishing, people see, like, you know, you get the self-published, you got this big deal, everybody thinks you got a bunch of money coming in. And, you know, it's not the case. It's almost kind of like, you know, comparable to the music industry, especially with how, where it was when I started out, because, you know, there were only a few distributors that you could go through to, you know, move your books into the stores. And at the time, once I self-published, I found myself with a living room full of books, and then all of a sudden I had none. And so I hooked up with Brother James down here in Charlotte. He had Dynasty Books. I know a lot of, you know, authors came through there to do book signings. It used to be the Eastern Mall here in Charlotte. And so he ended up, he put Little Ghetto Girl out for me, and he got me with those distributors. And, you know, they were not paying. Like, I can't remember that one out of Brooklyn, but they basically were, like, all in one anyway. They went out of business on us, like, they went out of business on him, like, $80,000-something. So, you know, if they went out of business on him, that I didn't get paid. So, you know, I had to kind of, it was a struggle for a while. And then when I got the Atria deal, I came all the way in out the streets. And, you know, since then, I've done stuff that, you know, led me to get in trouble at an older age. But everything happens for a reason. But I stayed focused, and at the end of the day, my motive was always to take my career to the next level. And so it's a learning experience. Like, I had to learn from all those things that happened when I self-published to when I was with a mid-level publisher. Like, you just have to take those experiences and keep moving forward. And that's pretty much what I've done. And so, like, this time around, I know how to do it differently. You know, I know what to be prepared for.
Now, as a hustler, because clearly you a hustler, you got them books out your living room, you really playing. For real, like, now, as a hustler in the game right now, how it exists today, what would you tell a young hustler coming in behind you, looking at what you're doing, what steps would you tell them to take to avoid, you know, some of the mishaps that happen with you?
You know, like, it's amazing. You know, so many people try to pick your brain, never know who's serious and, you know, just who wants to use you. But I pretty much try to tell everybody the same thing. Like, first of all, be serious about your craft. Like, I'm not knocking nobody hustle, but it's a lot of authors who are not novelists, even though they think they are. I think you should, the craft is very important to me, because that was one reason I started writing, because I love to write and I knew how to write. And just perfect your craft, and then, you know, worry about the marketing. And really, the marketing, the key to the marketing is getting out there, that hand-to-hand. Like, that killed me, that, like, when I went to the majors, what a lot of people don't understand about them is that they don't really want to give you those books and let you go out on the street. Like, they want that money that they see the Urban Fiction makes. But just say if I buy some books from Simon & Schuster today, I don't get credit for those sales, and I buy them and I get out and hustle them. So it's very important. Like, the book vendors, they didn't have access to the books. Like, you know, they do from smaller publishers, couldn't get a good deal, so they couldn't afford to get it. So that killed me. So being able to get out here and push a good product hand-in-hand, and once it's very big, people have no choice but they're going to get it. Those vendors, they'll make sure they get it because it's high demand. But the streets are still very necessary, even though Facebook, all social media is necessary. Every outlet that is free is very necessary, and it can reach, you know, a certain amount of people. And but it's just not just all about, okay, I wrote a book, I'm going to put it on Facebook and Instagram. Because, I mean, that's not a real hustle. Like, you know, you got to really get out here and get that word of mouth going. And just see how serious, like, you know, how serious what you have written, how serious people are taking it. Because some people, they'll read your genre just because they can relate to it, and it's a good story.
Like, I wrote Little Ghetto Girl at the time. I was 8 months pregnant, and I had came down to Charlotte, and I had got a job. And I let all different races, young, old, you know, different classes, everybody, I let them read, like, the first 6 chapters, and it just amazed me. Everybody came back like, okay, what's next? What happened next? You know, and so they were telling me how good it was, and I knew I had something. And so it's just all about, you know, perfecting your storytelling. And if you're a good author, like, just solidifying, you know, your place in this industry. Because a lot of people, you know, it's just no development. And they, you know, some people, everybody can't write 1,000 books or write 5 or 10 books a year and have good books. Like, some people are putting out garbage. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but everybody can't do it. So just make sure you perfect your craft, hone your skills, and, you know, put that product out and you push that one and just, you know, keep pushing it till, you know, people know your name.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you should say that about how people keep putting these books out and all that. And I know you definitely come from a different time. Let me ask you, what do you think, in your personal opinion, like, and how would you like to see your, what do you think the shelf life of a book is right now? Or it should be?
I don't know. I was reading a blog post by a white author, and he was saying how hard it is to compete with the flooded 99-cent books and free books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shelf life of a good book, it should have, you know, longevity. Like, if you keep building upon your previous works, if you write something good enough when the people get it, and this is across the board when it comes to literature, people are going to go back and get whatever else you wrote. And even if, you know, like, if it's just like, you know, a steady pace, or you, like, one of your books blew up crazy, and they look at that list and, you know, inside your book and say, okay, I'm going to go back and see everything she did or he did. The shelf life of a book now, I don't know, I mean, people, you know, they saturate in the market, but, I mean, you can flood the market with some stuff that if you flood it with trash, time's going to tell. And I think readers, after a while, some of the stuff that's going on right now, I think they're going to get tired of it, because there's a lot of, I think what the game is missing creativity. People don't, you know, they're not thinking about these titles they're putting out. They're not thinking about, like, what you're going to do. Are you trying to go mainstream? Are you doing it for the quick, though? Or are you doing it for the, you know, the long haul?
Okay.
I don't know how, you know, effective these, you know, little books are, you know, keep coming. Because I sit back, I look, you know, I observe everything. And so I just keep telling people, just work on your craft. That is very important.
Definitely. Let me ask a quick question for that before we switch over. You know, you have a lot of people coming into the game, and they want to sign with majors. They think that, you know, I got to get up here with these majors. Can you please explain to our new authors what is one of the big misconceptions that they may have about signing with a major? What is it that they think, you know, the prestige or what so have you may come with that? But, you know, it's really a hustle. So could you please, you know, share some of that knowledge with us?
Oh, it is a major hustle. Like, the hustle don't stop when you get there, because, number one, they're not spending no money on you like that, especially now, because, like, there was a clear change at Simon & Schuster, like, after the recession took place. They hiked wallets crazy. But this is how it normally goes down. You get your book, you get supreme editing, and you get supreme, like, distribution. Like, your book going to be everywhere. People pick up my books in grocery stores in L.A., out in Beverly Hills. But the thing is, your promotion, they're not spending no money on you. They're spending money on big-name authors. They send them everywhere. They, you know, like, I went a bunch of places. Don't get me wrong. I toured, like, lovely with all of my books. But the thing is, you get that 30 days, and that's all you get. And you get a publicist, in-house publicist, who is overworked. They have a high turnover rate when it comes to in-house publicists, because all they do is get them. They really don't have really, you know, any real connections. So all they do is get a Rolodex in front of them, you know, all the numbers, all the papers, magazines, radio stations. But if that publicist don't know nobody there, she has a network with anybody, and she really can't get you nothing. So you have to spend your money, you know, on your publishing and your marketing. And I did a lot of that. Like, I spent out with publicists all three of my projects. And, like, you know, I did Major Market Radio in New York. I did Wendy. I did Ed Lover when he was at Power 105. I did, you know, The Morning Show with Ms. Jones. I've been in Hip Hop Weekly, and that's all stuff I got. Like, that ain't nothing they did for me. On top of, mm-hmm. I still was hitting the streets doing book signings, like on 2/5 with CD when I was talking with Aching Out. Like, you gotta have to spend your money, and then not getting one lump sum at a time. Like, you're gonna get some money when you sign. You're gonna get some money when your book is released. You're gonna get some money when you turn in the outline. So it's not like gonna be all hunky dory as you think. It's like good exposure, but my books were everywhere, but my core readers didn't know. Like, I had a new book out. It's still people who be like, oh, have you written anything since Little Ghetto Girl? And I'm like, I've written 3 books, 4 books, or 5 books.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
over the years, people are constantly asking me, you know, do you have anything new out? Because they, you know, it was prestigious, and that's what they were trying to do with urban fiction when I signed. And they put my second book in hardcover, and that killed me because the mom-and-pop stores, which were very popular then, they didn't even carry Terry McMillan, and the street vendors didn't even carry Terry McMillan or big-name authors in hardback because nobody's going to buy them. Nobody wants to, you know, is going to spend $22 or $17 when they know it's a book they can get for $10 or they can wait for the paperback. So Grindr, I like maybe did in hardback, I probably did like 10,000 copies of Grindr. And that was in hardback, and a lot of people waited, and they got the paperback when it came out, but it could have been so much more bigger had I not been in, you know, hardback first, because that killed the scene coming behind Little Ghetto Girl, because a lot of the street vendors were people getting books from at the time, they didn't have it. And so, you know, by the time it comes out in paperback, it's a, you know, especially that's the time when the market started getting saturated with people trying to drop 10 books a month, that, you know, it just killed it because so many books that came out by then and, you know, nobody knew about it.
Wow. Let me ask you.
That's something. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let me ask you a question, like, concerning that. Do you think that taking the game, the book game, urban fiction, from off the streets and putting it in the hands of these corporations tainted it?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it really tainted it. No, because it cleaned it up some. This is going to be shadiness everywhere you go, but it cleaned it up some. But just the game itself is so comparable to hip hop that it kind of it has tainted itself. The genre has tainted itself because you know everybody got a story. You know, I'm not knocking nobody, but everybody can write a story, and I mean, if anything, the majors, like, I'm not, like, dissing the majors or anything, and, you know, I ever get a chance to take another major deal, I would, but I know how to do it correctly now. Like, I know how the money has got to be, you know, has to be allotted. So I'm not knocking it. No, I don't think it tainted it. I just think it was a learning experience. Like, they see what they have to do to push these books, and then the authors see what they have to do if they walk that major road again.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that to light because I think a lot of people have misconceptions about, you know, signing and where they should go and what they'll get. And you talked about the funding and how things are cut up. And if you're not, even if a major was to sign you, but you're not a big name on the label, then you're not going to get what, you know, Ashley and Jaquavis or Waheed Clark. We won't get what they would get. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially if you're new and you're trying to build a name for yourself, you have even more of a hustle because, like you said, if the readers don't know you're there, if they don't know you're out there, then it's pretty much impossible for them to click or buy or walk into a store and ask for something that they don't know exists. So the hustle is real, and even outside of being signed with someone, you have to be your own brand within that company. You have to make your name known, and you have to do big things so that people know that you exist. Yeah,
you have to totally invest in yourself. That's major. Like, you can't just go over there and chill.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, we're going to bring SCN so she can join you and we can continue this conversation and find out about this ultimate hustle because, you know, they got a dream team over there and we're planning on learning a lot over here, taking notes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
let me see if I can get this right this time.
Yes.
402-557, good evening. You live with the Writing Royalty Crew.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
SCN?
Hi, Dan.
Yes, we can.
Hi.
Okay.
How are y'all?
We feel good.
We are right now that you're here. We was waiting for you. We was like, oh, she's there, she's there. I know you live in a different time zone. I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
We sure we didn't get it twisted. But we thank you for coming out. We know your schedule is bonkers over there. You're a mom. You're working on top of honing your craft. And we thank you for coming and coming into the clubhouse and sitting with us and representing your team. And we appreciate that. We really, really do. And we're going to highlight some things about your career so that the readers can also get to know this fabulous author behind that hot pen. And we're going to let one of my two co-hosts, they're going to go ahead and take over and start highlighting that. And we're going to incorporate Miss Santiago. And we're going to continue this conversation on the ultimate hustle.
Well, thank you for that, Nene. And seeing, my name is Tony. How are you again this evening? And I'm glad to have you in the clubhouse.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes.
Okay. A little earlier, I read your bio. And it was really touching and really interesting. But first and foremost, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about having the opportunity of sitting on that throne with one of the best-selling authors, Ashley Antoinette, and being called her protege?
I mean, it's like really a dream come true because at the end of the day, that's really what I wanted. And the fact that I actually got it is like, it's mind-blowing because it's like, it makes you want to pinch yourself every day, you know, because it's like it really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing feeling. Oh. It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like you spoke it into effect by saying before your book was even finished that you wanted to be our protege. But
I did.
Good day.
Yeah, that's why it's crazy. I'm just like I can't believe it. It was crazy.
And
that's
I heard a prior interview that you had that you actually reached out to her via social media and spoke to her that way, and next thing you know, you had it?
Yes, Twitter.
Better.
I did.
And then social media at its best again.
Right.
So how do you feel about being a part of such a powerful team with just your first novel that you published?
I mean, it's definitely a blessing because a lot of people who are coming out now, they don't have as much support as I have, like I do with, like, the last team, too. They don't have, like, the promotion I have, and I'm part of something big, like, with two of the best urban authors in the game. So it's really breathtaking. It's really, I just feel blessed because I wouldn't have had that. If I wouldn't have gone through them, if I would have went on my own or something like that, like, it wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of our hot topic tonight. It's called The Ultimate Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
How would you do your, how would you come about promoting your work? What would you do differently to get your name and your work out to the readers?
Differently, if this isn't what it was, like, well, where I'm at home, I have a lot of support, you know, and the fact that I'm doing something so different than what everybody else is doing, like, I really have a great, great, great support system now and good people behind me. So if I had to go on the corners, I would have been on the corners. If I would have been have to be out of my trunk, I would have been out of my trunk. But really, when it comes to, like, something like this, if you don't have, you know, that promotion, you have to push yourself. You have to get yourself out there if it's really what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I agree with that.
You can't just sit around.
Yes, that's the truth. And, you know, just coming into the game and, you know, I, like yourself, came in under a powerhouse. You know, we got that name behind
mm-hmm.
us, Wahida Clark. You got Ashley Antoinette. These people are definitely known in the industry, you know, and coming up under them and having these great pieces of work, just tell us, you know, besides the fact that, you know, we come pretty much, it's like being birthed in, you know, like if you're a Hilton, you're a Hilton. So it's like you're pretty much birthed in, you know, to the industry. But your hustle, I'm quite sure, Ashley, as well as Jaquavius, has given you some wonderful jewels about keeping your work out there, keeping yourself current. Can you please just try to share with new authors the hustle. You know, what is it that you have to do, you know, every day or weekly or whatever it is to make sure that you stay current and that the readers know that you're out there?
I mean, at the end of the day, you definitely have to, coming in and being a new face and new author, like, you can't come in, like, acting like, oh, I'm that, you know, I'm that person, I'm that, you know. Like, you have to stay connected with everybody. If somebody talks to you, you have to talk back, because word of mouth is how your product is going to spread. You know, like, talk to one person, they might spread your book to 10 people, they might spread your book to 30 people, you know. Like, you have to stay valid in people's lives. You have to, social media, that's one of the biggest ways, you know. When some, like, at work, I see people reading Ashley Antoinette's books all the time, and I just always, like, talk about Al, talk about everything, everybody else's books, just so we can get that exposure.
Yeah.
Because one person can turn quickly into 100 people, you know.
That's right. That's right. That word of mouth is real. You know, you have good readers and book clubs and different things like that, and being able to go in there and interact with them is phenomenal.
The book club,
Yes, so shout out to the book clubs, because we have some awesome, awesome ladies who are running those clubs, and they're spreading the word. They're making you know, their cover picture, or they're having you for interviews. So that is a real good tool. Yes, it's a very, very good tool. So what do you have coming next? Seeing you have this one out, what's coming next for you under Al?
Next up is going to be Pride of Play and the Protege. One is supposed to release July 12th. So I do believe it's going to be the same day as the Pride of Play and the Fourth, the final book.
Wow. So you're going to be at the Harlem Book Fair with that. Is that going to be a Harlem Book Fair release? Okay.
I do believe so.
Oh, that's going to be phenomenal. So, yes, if our readers are listening, please make sure that you hit that owl table, because they're going to have that heat out there along with the 103-degree temperature that you'll be standing in. Last year, that was you that was with them when they came through, right, when they did the walkthrough? Was that
last
you, Sam? Yes, did you
last
walk
year?
Through with S&M last year?
I did.
Okay, That's where I met you at. Okay. Yeah, it was so hot. I was like, Lord have mercy.
And them subways.
Ooh, it's horrible. But this year, you're going to be on the grind. Last year, it was like, let's walk through so she could wave at everybody. And you were just so cute. She was meeting everyone. So it was great to meet you. The spirit and your personality is phenomenal. So definitely make sure if y'all out at that Harlem Book Fair this year, get by the owl table, come and meet the authors. They have wonderful personalities. They're going to have the heat on that table. But I did want to ask Ms. Santiago, I believe they mentioned some type of charity work in your bio.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us a little bit about that hustle? Because that's also a hustle. Like, this here is your platform, so you get your name and stuff out there. But then now you have something else that's a selfless mission. Could you give us a little bit of that?
Yeah, I actually started that, like, years ago when I first started out. And, like, the next couple of years, we're just, like, in a revamping phase, because my sister helped me with that and my mom. And it's had to take, a backseat to a lot of stuff I had going on in my life over the last couple of years. But it all started when I visited a shelter in New York, in the Bronx. And I visited the shelter because it was an Italian lady. She was like the head counselor there or something. But she bought my book for the girls. And it just amazed me that when I went to visit, like, I had to be vetted, number one. It was a domestic violence shelter. And it was a bunch of young girls. These were not, like, grown, you know, older women. These were young girls. And it was, like, so serious that they could take pictures with me. I couldn't take pictures with them because nobody could know where they, you know, where they were. And they were running in there with their kids. And, you know, it was just so sad. So I started the Mischievous Girl Foundation, and that name kind of came from my grandmother because she always called me mischievous. She said I wasn't bad, I was just mischievous. So when it started, I was just, you know, geared to help them, you know, try to provide, you know, toiletries or, you know, just do what I can to raise a little bit of money to help out, you know, any shelter that I could. And one of my good friends, I don't know if y'all remember Arthur, Tanya Blunt, you know, she went through domestic violence, and, you know, when I sat down and talked to her about it, you know, she kind of gave me what I needed to do. So I kind of, like, when we're revamping it, we're not going to, you know, lose the help with, you know, focusing on teen girls and battered women. We are just going to kind of, like, focus on where there's a need, especially, like, in the county jail. you know, everybody goes to jail is not guilty. And sometimes
right.
you may spend months in there, you know, before you can get
yes.
bond or something. But there is a great need for simple toiletries as deodorant. Some counties just don't provide underwear. And, you know, just simple stuff, you know, better combs and stuff. So, like, this year in the fall, I plan to do a drive for toiletries for, like, women in county jails and also for, like, school supplies for poverty-stricken kids because I get my son's school supply list every year because he's 12. He's going on 13. And every year it's more stuff and it gets more expensive. Like, it's like a $95 calculator on there. And I know plenty of people do, you know, have school drives, you know, for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, many people still need to keep doing it. You know, other, you know, charities need to keep giving because there's so many kids, you know, that live, you know, either not, you know, right at the poverty level or, you know, below, and their parents can't afford to do, you know, the necessary stuff to get their school supplies. And with the gap widening, you know, between middle class, between, you know, rich middle class and then poor, the gap is getting bigger and bigger every year, so, you know, it's more people that need help with that.
Right, right. And that's a good thing because, like you said, they need to have more people who are doing things. I think someone had asked us, is it important for us, you know, to do things within our community on the show? Asked, and I said, it's very important, and it's very important to show that, you know, to whom much is given, much is deserved. And even though it is very hard to sit down and, you know, have the discipline, have the time while you're still trying to do family and different things, we write, you know, and it affords us in a lot of cases to have freedoms that a lot of people, you know, don't have as far as being home to actually watch your baby grow. Like, I can homeschool my daughter because I'm home now. You know what I'm saying? So that's a luxury for me. So giving back, it should be something that, you know, all of us should look, you know, forward to doing if we can. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's situation is different, but for people who these blessings have bestowed upon and we've been given a great gift and a craft and we have, you know, any type of time or anything on our hands, especially even though, you know, we even write material that may, like, I did an interview today and the lady was like, well, how do you try to balance the fact that you write a book about pussy and you talk about bitches? Like, how do you balance, you know, uplifting women with having those types of books, you know? And I say, you know, when I go out and I mentor and they get to hear my story and see a whole different side of myself, that is how I get to, you know, justify being able to write those types of materials. So, yeah, giving back does help, and it does help them to see that, yeah, we write a little raunch and a little grit and a little murder, but we're not really about that life. Like, you know,
And this is like, it's so, like, it's such a, I don't even know what you, like, what really call the word for it, but it's just like, it's okay for other races to write certain material, and they get looked upon as like, okay, this is, you know, just wonderful. And I'm honestly, we get it the worst from our own people. Let me just state that right now. You know, they can watch something. They can read. My same readers, they could go read a Jackie Collins book. Like, I had never read Jackie Collins before. A lady gave me a review one time, and she said, you know, you write like Jackie Collins. So I went and I read all her novels now, and I love her. But, you know, at the same time, she could write the same stuff, you know, the same glitterati type style literature, and nobody bats an eye. But my people, oh, my God, I read a review when someone said the wealth that I talked about in the novel, which we are talking about fiction novels, let's be clear. They said the wealth was unheard of. And it's like, oh, so, you know, we can't be wealthy. Like, there are a lot of, you know, black wealthy people. So it's just like, you know, one race can do it and, you know, be praised for writing erotica and they can go out and do good works and nobody, you know, nobody really bats the eye and give them trouble. But we do it. It's like, well, how do you justify giving this, pushing this up to your people and yada, yada, yada. But there's still life out there. Like you said, like she's saying, how can you write about pussy? Like, we're black women for so long, we were so not sexually liberated that nobody wanted to talk about it. But white women get to be sexually liberated and talk about it and still go out and do charity and stuff and, you know, it's celebrated. So it's just like it's almost like a dichotomy when it comes to our book.
I agree. And they talk about it. Frantz Fanon, he has a book called Wretched of the Earth, and he talks in that book about how it's the tone, it's the pitch, it's the own. Like, you know, they had the Harlequin romance novels for years, and he mounted me, and, you know, they had all these colorized words, but, you know, in our genre, it's like, yeah, he brought that, you know, he pounded it. Whatever words we use to express how it is in our tone and our pitch is what is that I believe that is fearful. If you look at how newscasters are, you know, even in the news, you have those African-American newscasters who are taught to talk with a softer tone, you know, who are taught to talk non-threatening tone. It's the tonality pitch that they're afraid of. They're not afraid of the actual work because they know that it exists and it's real. You know what I'm saying? It's a real narrative. And when you have those housewives sneaking and covering up their books by us with, you know, with covers so that nobody knows what they're reading, but they can't wait to find out what's happening in the hood. You know what I'm saying? But I think that is one of the differences, is that tonality and that pitch that they're afraid of. And other than saying that these are good pieces of work written by, you know, African-American authors, they'll put the negative connotation on it to make it seem like it's tearing the genre down. But, you know, Stephen King and different authors like that, they write about incest. They write about monsters and spooks and things that clearly aren't real. And everybody say, yay, and all the praise happens. But if we write about a shootout, boy, we are tearing this mother down. So, yeah, the hustle is real. Don't get me started, because you bring up some, I go all into classes on you. But I digress. But that's where I am with that. But that was awesome. That was awesome. And we have a lot of work to do within the genre, outside of the genre. And I think that we're going to continue to progress as long as we stay innovative and motivating to one another. Yep. But we do have, I believe we have Mr. Benjamin on the line. Is he in the queue? Because we would love to bring in another one of those Dream Team players, J.M.
Yes,
Benjamin. Santiago. So we can continue to talk about this hustle being real. This is a true hustler right here, I'm telling you. Who has his bio?
Let's
get that read.
I think Lisa got his bio.
Yep, I have his bio.
Okay.
Now, this author right here, he is the illustration of what a true ultimate hustler is. He's a father. He's an author. He's a businessman. He's a mentor, publisher, motivational speaker. He is truly, truly making boss moves. Now, he hails from Plainfield, New Jersey. Back in 2006, he was released from prison. He returned to society with a different mindset and a different game plan. Since then, he's gone on to become one of the hardest working authors in the literary world. He has penned an array of titles, including his 2006 award-winning freshman novel, Down in the Dirty, the Essence best-selling Ride or Die Chick series. He also penned a nonfiction motivational book, From Incarceration to Incorporation, as well as several anthologies. Now, his work ethics caught the eye of not one, but two publishers, Carl Weber of Urban Books, Kensington, as well as Al's Ashley and DeQuadis. He's been featured in and on various different newspapers, magazines, television shows. He is the CEO of his publishing company, A New Quality Publishing. So let's bring in Mr. Benjamin and let him talk to us about his hustle.
Yes, indeed. 908, good evening. You're live with the Writing Royalty Crew. How are you?
What's going on, everybody? I'm good.
What's going on, JM?
Good, man. Thank you for having me, man.
We thank you for coming out. I had to threaten him, and I kind of like scratched his eyes when I seen him at the book signing, because I know where he lives. So if he wasn't on time tonight, it was going to be a rumble in the city. Is that right, Mr. Benjamin?
I mean, partially. I mean, he got me in the doghouse right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know it's the princess's
birthday.
Yes, I just slid out. We're at the hibachi spot. I just slid out to the van. I was in there listening to the show. You know, I just ran out. I heard y'all say my name. I said it was about to go there. So, you know, I just dipped out right quick. Everybody looking at me like, that's not so food.
Oh, he's hustling on your birthday? All right,
yeah,
that's
man. No, not my birthday, my daughter's birthday today.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Happy Born Day to your young one. Indeed.
Yeah,
it's cool, though. I'm going to make up for it. I'm throwing a hotel party down Atlantic City this weekend, so I scheduled my signings down that way.
Make sure you post those so we can blog about that, so we can let them know. So definitely, callers, I see the chat room is on fire. The callers are in the queue. If you guys are in Atlantic City this weekend, Mr. Benjamin will be down there putting a squeeze on you. So make sure that you check him out, check his page, check our pages. We're going to post the links as soon as he updates the information so you can get out and get your autographed copy. This man is phenomenal. And, again, we thank you for taking that time. We know you have a huge schedule and obligation today because I know outside of everything you do, fatherhood is mostly important to you and family, because I've met several members of your family, and everybody has that same loving spirit. But we definitely would like to highlight the hustle, because you write books. However, you take time to go out to mentor. You meet with, you know, Congress people and, you know, mayors trying to do different things in the cities that you, you know, you came from or you grew up in, or that you may have even left a stain on, you know, because a lot of us have come from, you know, different types of environments, but you're turning back and you're giving back to these communities. Could you just let us have a little insight on what it is that you do outside of this book hustle to make sure that your community is affected in a positive way?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. First, let me say, hey, what's up, Danielle? What's going on, CN? Are they on the line or no?
Yeah, they on the line.
They might have went to the tower.
No, I'm here. I muted my phone because my kids were making noise.
I'm in mine, too.
Oh, no, that's cool. I'm just showing some love before I, you know, answer the question. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Hello, JM. And I meant to say hello to CN when she chimed in, too. You guys are doing well today.
In regards to the question, though,
Mama, you
okay, the little one, go ahead and answer it for me.
They're going to be the next one. Go ahead.
No, so what I was saying was basically I come from something, you know, come from something negative. It was all around me, and I bought into it. And because I bought into it, you know, it took me away from, you know, the people who really love me. And, you know, towards the end, I did over a dozen years in prison. And towards the end, you know, when I was blessed with this opportunity to become an author, you know, I just told myself that, you know, if I ever get back into position, that it's a debt that I owe to my community and to society to give back to something I took so much from. So, you know, there's no right way to do wrong. And, you know, I like metaphors, so the whole oil and water thing don't mix. You know, that defines me and how I move. So I knew that I know I couldn't put one foot in, and I may have one foot out and think it was going to go right. So I just decided to focus on going straight. And position, you know, it was just crazy because I was somebody before the book game. So, you know, when I came home, well, first, let me go on to tell you, I'm sorry. Well, 2005, Down and Dirty came out. I was still in the building. And my brother was in my town pushing the books. And he sold like 1,000 books before I was even released from prison, like in strip clubs, local bars, stuff like that, just on the strength of my name. And, you know, but people were saying, like, man, I didn't even know the dude knew how to read, let alone read and write. And, yeah, and they support us. So when I came home, it was crazy, you know, and I was getting letters from dudes, you know, that I grew up with and that I knew that was saying that Joker's locked up with them, couldn't believe they knew me. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. This is real. You know, and so the moment I realized that I received, you know, a similar status but different, I knew I had to take full advantage of it. So, you know, when the first newspaper in our tri-state area had wound up doing an interview with me, and it was a funny story of how they came across me. Something was going on in Borders where some females from my hood was beefing with the manager at Borders, the nearest Borders, because they didn't have Down in the Dirty, when the manager was trying to tell them that Down in the Dirty was sold out, that they couldn't keep it. And the newspaper editor overheard it, asked the young ladies my name. They told them, she went home, looked me up, contacted my publisher. Publisher gave her my number, and we talked for a while. She was like, this story needs to be told. It needs to be heard. I can't promise you when I'm going to get it in there or how much, but I'm going to try to get it in the local section. And that next day, it was on the front page of the newspaper all over.
And wow.
It was crazy, and that opened the door of schools reaching out, wanted me to come share my story with students, and then the light switch went on. Before I knew it, I was mentoring. Thereafter, motivational speaking, and just partnering up with various different organizations and things of that nature, to be a contributor to the upliftment of the community versus a contributor to destruction. So that's pretty much outside of literary. But I use literary as my platform and my voice.
Right.
So that's the connection right there.
That's what's up. And we know that you come from the old school hustle with the books we just talked about, being behind the wall and having the family on the street trying to push those books, trying to move those books. How do you see that the hustle has changed, and what do we need to do to redirect that hustle?
let's be clear, it's changed for some other people, but it hasn't changed for everybody. It's like this. I'm from where I grew up in, and not to, to enhance my past rep, but I grew up in the projects in the hood, and we grew up experiencing a recession. So it's been a recession forever and a day. So we don't freak out like, other people do. So I remember when the whole e-book frenzy popped off, everybody was going hysterical, but I was still flat-footing it and grassrooting it. I was still doing numbers as if there was no e-books in existence.
Right.
And then when it did, when the struggle did increase, it only pushed me harder. It was kind of like this battle. And, of course, as a business person, I'm a businessman, I'm not going to not make my work available on e-books. I'm just going to balance, and I'm going to continue doing what I do. And I say that with the knowledge of the business of publishing. You see?
Right.
And that's a major issue why it's so crazy in the game, because, once upon a time, there were a lot of authors that didn't understand the business of publishing because they focused on being authors. I knew the dynamics of the business before I even got signed, when I was submitting. So when I got in and I came home and had more resources, I realized, whoa, same game, different product. I can do this, But as far as the difference with the young people, not the young people, the new writers, the new published authors, the thing with them is, they're just jumping in head first, and they are taking advantage of the first thing made available to them, and they're overlooking the blueprint. That's what's missing with the new generation versus us. The blueprint. It doesn't matter if you were Danielle Santiago or Quan or Ashley Jaquavis or J.M. Benjamin, Eric Gray, whoever. It doesn't matter if you were 5-6 different authors. At minimum, you follow the blueprint, the guidelines, whether you were independent or up under a small or major company. You've experienced your work going through the blueprint that's been here forever and a day. Because the new generation really couldn't figure out how to get in to learn the blueprint, and was screaming out that those who knew it wouldn't tell them. They decided, like, we're going to just wing it or we're going to make up our own blueprint, a new blueprint. So everything that's new is falling up under that new umbrella.
And, right,
you know,
right.
You know, like I said, you know, just to compare, you know, as a comparison to, you know, again, what everybody considers vets versus, you know, rookies or, you know, or newbies or whatever. And,
right.
But, you know, it can be rectified if, okay, you know, if those who are listening, if they're new authors, or for the authors who have the knowledge and information, if, you know, if someone takes the initiative, you know, to you know, remove the barriers and one, ask for help, and then two, the other extend it, I mean, you know, slowly but surely it could be done. Is it likely right now? No, because it's still fresh. You know, when mm-hmm. something fresh, you know, you just got to let it run its course until eventually, you know, when everybody runs into their brick wall, they're going to be forced to figure out what was the original blueprint. And it's really going to simply go back to perfecting your craft, honing in on it, pin some great writing, pay the proper people to put your book, your manuscript, let's be clear, until you're published, not a novel, it's a manuscript, but put your mm-hmm. manuscript through surgery, knowing that it's going to come out, you know, 100%, and then, you know, then introduce it to the world. You know,
yes.
So if I just respects the process, it will be more quality than quantity.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that, because we talked about before how, you know, you had to go through so much before you could even release a book. Like, you know, from being with Wahida, like, I had to advertise for a whole year before she would even release my book. I had to advertise. I had to go to book signings. I met all of you guys just by being on the street team. I had to learn. I had to travel with her. I had to see the hustle. And I had to make sure my book went back and forth. At one point, she told me, don't touch them edits again till you go read this. Go read this book entirely. Find out how to attack these edits, and then I'm going to let you do your edits before you can put this, you know, this book into play. And I think a lot of that is missing in the industry. And then she's no rush person. Like you even see for herself, she'll drop a book once a year, maybe twice, and she has a schedule in which she does that, and she does the same thing for the authors. She gives it a time to marinate and to brew and to build some momentum. You know, and I think, like you said, those blueprints, those formulas that were out there that made you guys successful, that made your name still be able to ring in the streets, like Danielle said, like you can get her book in the grocery store, in the supermarket, you know, just stop by and pick up a book. But the blueprints were set, and she still continues to follow them. And people like yourself who continue that book hustle, you know, those book signing hustles, meeting the readers, you know, getting them to see your face and know your name, that is very, very important.
That's one of the number one things I love about this game right here, right? You know, if more authors really knew what product they were pushing, they would be more successful. That's my secret right there. Like, my books are not my product. I'm the product. Nobody can't push me better than I can push myself. So
say that again.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know I'm a quality package. Like, I'm packing it up. Like, I'm going to get you high, I promise you. And, like, people need to embrace products. That's why so many authors don't know how to push their books, because they don't know the product that they're pushing. I've seen authors, you know, who have written a street lit or erotica and be timid about, you know, expressing what they've written, you know, what their story's about. Or, you know, you know, just things that can tell you that they don't believe, they don't stand by, they don't stand in front or stand behind their product, because they haven't figured out they're the product. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it is. So I know how to package it up right, you know, and put it in the streets.
Yes, yes. And I think that's what has kept you with the longevity, because not until recently – have you really been signed? Like, you've been all this time on your own out there making these moves, hustling hard with no major, you know, behind you, or, you know, no names behind you, this J.M. Benjamin, you know.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
it was very important for me to establish my own brand, because that's what it is. Like, even though I came out under a small press company, I branded my name so strong that people didn't know who I was signed with. People would think I was with Triple Crown. They would think I was with Melodrama. They didn't know, because you always heard my name and not a company, you know. And the recent moves that I've, business moves that I made, it was really business decisions, strategic business decisions mm-hmm. that, you know, were just beneficial to everyone. Like, I mean, we know that we're stronger in numbers. I just, you know, for a while, I just felt I wanted to be my own entity, you know. And again, like I said, just, you know, stand apart from the rest. I heard the brother say, staying relevant. That's very important, you know, staying mm-hmm. relevant, you know, and being innovative, you know, always, you know, doing something. I'm not into gimmicks and tricks or smoke screens. I'm into what I feel and what I believe in. So if I post it, I say it, I do it because I believe in it. So, you know, with that, like, just being innovative, you know, and, getting yourself to stand out, you know, in a pool of sharks and all other types of, different big fishes in the sea.
Yes, that's what's up. And we have 500 million people with their hands raised. If you don't mind, if you, CN and Danielle, don't mind, we would definitely like to bring in a caller or two. We have them in the chat room saying, when is he coming on? So we definitely want them to be able to avail themselves of you. Aaron, if you could please bring in a caller so they can talk to Mr. Benjamin or one of the two ladies.
Yeah, let me grab 414. They've been holding the longest. Good evening. How are you doing?
So, what up, man?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Nene. Hey, Leisha.
Hey, how you doing? Is that the storyteller?
Yeah, yes. Storyteller.
Okay. Did you have any questions?
I want to push up to the aisle team. And, you know, I got to throw a shout out to my man, JM. I'm listening to him. And when he speaks is, you know, very real. I think it was probably, I want to say 2 years it's been probably since I've got a chance to hang out with JM. He came to Milwaukee and we did some things together. And like I said, what he speaks is real. And one thing he told me, I think we was coming from the airport and we fired, and he said, Storyteller, let me ask you a question. How many books did you sell today? And I said, man, I think I might have sold 50 books today. He looked at me and said, 50? I just got a call for 800, and I'm sitting there like, wow. But I really got a chance to watch his hustle, to mm-hmm. have him in my city to stump the pavement with him, and see how people in my own city took to an outsider coming in. And when he say he brands himself, he's the package. He's mm-hmm. serious about that. It's a lesson that new authors need to learn. You know, he's going into shop after shop. We going block from block, and people are, you know, to the barbershops, and people are, they pulling that money out just because he knew how to talk. He knew how to sell himself. You know, the book is secondary. Once the people heard him speak, they got to grab the book just because he spoke so proficiently about what he does. So I think a lot of new authors should really pay attention to what he's saying, because it's a movement of branding yourself, and the book is really secondary.
Appreciate that, man.
You know, I got a lot of love for you, and, you know, how your mom's doing?
Nah, she's good, man. Much continued success to you, man. I'll be seeing you, you know, so I just want to acknowledge that. You know, that's very important, man. That's an issue that black men have, man. You know, knowledge. I respect that. So, you know, much love to that, you know, to everything you said, B.
Okay. Thank you so much, Storyteller, for calling in and sharing that with us, and we appreciate it. And we, you know, ask you to continue to listen, and thank you for supporting these wonderful authors.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Go ahead, Aaron, and take another call, because I know Mr. Benjamin is going to be getting back to his family.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right, we're gonna take 347-552. 347-552.
Yo.
Ah, what's going on?
What's poppin'? That's my boy, Mr. Bebo.
Yes, that's June what's Miller,
poppin'?
Ladies and gentlemen. It's not a game. What's good, lady?
Yo, J.M., my dude. What's poppin', man? What's good?
I'm good.
How you?
Me.
Yes, Team Al in the house.
That's what we do. What's up? And CN and Danny. I don't know if Danny's still on. What's good?
I'm still
here.
Hi.
What's up? Al is in the building. I just called to show support to my peoples, man. That's why I ain't got nothing much to say, man. I just wanted to holler and let everybody know that Al is definitely a real positive movement. And
yes.
I'm just glad to be around some vets like J.M., Danny, and that protege.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Forward to having you on next week.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm supposed to be scheduled for y'all too, so I'm gonna get my shine on too. But yo, JM, I'm gonna tell this is you know, the hot tub thing, man.
Man, I didn't tag you on that, bro.
I'm just saying, B. I was gonna shout you out, kid, one more. I was like, yo. But nah, I see what you do. You know how it is. It's all love, though, man. I'm not going to tie the line up. I just wanted to come through and let Al know that we in the building. You know, support is there always.
Yes, we are. We know it because June is the biggest promoter over there in our corner.
Yes.
Like, he is constantly, I go on Twitter and I'm like, let me tweet something about my book today. And between a million things, I go up there, June, he's tweeting about all the books. And I'm like,
yes.
I love you, and I thank you for that. And I appreciate you.
Nah, that's what we do, man. You know, that's teamwork, make that dream work. And yo, JM, tell your daughter happy born day, man, and enjoy that, man.
Well, dude, man, appreciate that. She done texted me like 100 times like, Dad.
I already know.
Over the D's.
All right, so I'm out. I'm going to let everybody else get in. I'm out. I shouldn't even did this. I've been on here this long. All right.
He is phenomenal. But, Mr. Benjamin, we're going to let you get back to your family. We thank you for coming and spending this time with us. You dropped some jewels. On the industry, you know, new authors, if you're listening, veteran authors, if you're listening, you know, take
yes,
note.
Indeed.
That blueprint is key. That hustle is real. Mr. Benjamin gets out there and beats that pavement, like they said, you know, barbershops, whatever. Wherever they can read a book, he's there.
I really do. I eat, sleep, and breathe. I'm not even going to front about that. Like, and I want to say to everybody, listen, if you're an author, before I go on, don't never let anybody deter you, derail you, or discourage you from, you know, turning your literary dreams into a published reality. Like, definitely, there's enough bookshelf space for everybody. I just wanted to say that. CN, Danielle, do your thing. Wish I could stay the whole time, but I know y'all going to hold it down and kill it, though.
Yes. Thank
have
you, Jay.
Night.
You're going to book. Make sure you post those tour dates so we can see where we can find you.
I will. I'll be in Pleasantville, New Jersey, which is in the Atlanta area, Urban Bookstore, 28 Old Turnpike. So I'll be there Friday and Saturday, 3 to 8 and 11 to 8. So, you know, come out.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good evening.
You too. And have fun.
Stay blessed, brother.
Wow. That was powerful. That was powerful.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh.
Yep, for that. And I would like, did they have, I think someone had a question for CN. Leisha, was it Leisha?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If you can ask CN the question you have for her.
Now you mentioned that you hit Ashley on Twitter, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now what, at that time that you decided to just go head on and talk to her then, what was going on to make you decide, you know, that this is actually what I want to do right now? Was there anything particular going on in your life at the moment?
Yes. I don't want to say I felt, like, desperate, but, like, I just felt like I was writing something. Like, I was writing a classic, and I remember I was, like, on my last few chapters, and I was up, and I was just trying to brainstorm, how am I going to get this out there? What am I going to do? Like, how am I going to do this? And I'm a social media head, so I was on Twitter at the same time, and I saw her on Twitter, and I just tweeted her. I never expected her to tweet me back. I never expected, you know, all of this to come from that one night, but I had put so much time and so much energy into that book that I just knew I had to do something.
Absolutely. Now, the you are doing the product plan book that you're doing. When is that book set to come out?
It is supposed to come out July 12th.
Oh, wow. So, how did you put it together? Because Ashley's book is a classic. So how did you feel when you were set to pen this particular book in your version? What did you do to put it together?
Well, of course, it's like, you know, a big shoe to fill, but at the same time, like, the product plan is Ashley's baby. So I can write it, you know. It's coming from my mind, but I have Ashley there, you know, to walk me through the process. Like, I'm not, you know, alone. It's not, I don't know, it just works. It just flows. They're really, really good, like, bosses. They don't ever, like, just send you in the sea with sharks, you know. It's a team. It's a family. So,
Let me ask you, concerning the product plan, how much of the, I know you said Ashley is there assisting you, how much of her personal outline from the books, her personal product plan, how much of that do you use as an outline?
It's going a complete different route. Like, okay. When you read it, like, yeah, it still has some familiar faces, of course, in it, but it's completely, like, different.
Okay, something new and refreshing. That's that hustle
something
again.
Something new and refreshing, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
right.
Go ahead, Alicia, because we got some callers waiting to speak to these wonderful ladies.
I got a question for Danielle Santiago.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Now, this is Alicia. What do you feel that you are bringing to the industry that could inspire someone else like you were inspired?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I have a story. It's probably been played out in so many interviews. But just basically, let's see. Just that, you know, you can rise above your situation. You know, it's kind of, you know, that sounds cliche and corny, but, you know, it is the truth because, you know, I tell people when I wrote my first book, like, there was no, like, plan to, you know, write, you know, like, I'm about to sit down and write this. I actually met Terry when she was selling her books hand to hand, like, before she even blew up. I met her through some guys we knew from Brooklyn that had a jewelry store down in Virginia. And I was at Norfolk State. And so I met her, then I moved back to New York, and, you know, I got pregnant with my son. And around that time, some stuff happened at the apartment I lived at with my sister, and the door got shot up, and I went to the shelter. And it was, like, when I was going back and forth to the doctor and to, welfare and stuff, I would see girls on the bus and on the train reading Terry books, and at the time, I think, like, The Coldest One Ever was out. And those were, like, you know, the only two books, and I saw them everywhere, and I was like, wow, you know, they reading that. Like, I got a story to tell, and I hadn't even read The Coldest Winter yet. And so I just, like, I had a 10 o'clock curfew at the shelter. Well, actually, it wasn't even a shelter at this point. It was, like, a tier one, like, a housing unit where before, you know, you get a voucher to go out, you know, and get an apartment. And you had to be in by 10 o'clock. So that's how I passed my time. And I started, you know, writing in a little tiny notebook. And so, I took that and I went and I self-published. You know, a lot of people didn't believe me. My family didn't believe me when I said I wrote a book. And, you know, even, like, still, like, you know, I still tell people, you know, I still go through a lot of stuff. And even with all the chaos around me, I still managed to stay on the path that I wanted to be on this time around. Like, you know, like I said, I took a lesson from it about the money thing. Like, I've been working in the hair salon since I was 16. So instead of having to step back into the game when, you know, the money's not right, this time, you know, I'm going to hair school to get my license so I can work legally in a hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if I don't work number 3 days a week, and, you know, I can amass a good amount of money, you know, to cover my bills, and then I could take the money, you know, from the books and put it back in the books, and it don't hurt me financially. Or, you
mm-hmm.
know, I can take the money that I'm earning, and I can put that towards stuff that I have to do with the books. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, the income, it don't, you know, everything don't have to be on my husband when, you know, when my income is not coming in. Because, like, one thing I'm going to tell you, you know, you asked me the question about the majors earlier. First of all, I know they're not giving out huge deals unless you're really, really putting up a whole bunch of numbers when you come in the door. But, like, me, I had a six-figure deal with Simon & Schuster, but I haven't recouped that money yet. So all I get is a statement. So, you know, and only one of my contracts really is even coming close to recouping right now. And so, like, don't even worry about the major money. Like, take the small money so down the road, like, you know, you can get those royalty checks.
Yes. And I think you said something real powerful. You talked about
mm-hmm.
taking money and turning it back into the project. Like,
mm-hmm.
when we talk about having quality work, we talk about editing, we talk about typesetting,
mm-hmm.
we talk about covers, we talking about making sure you put quality. Now, like you said, everybody's situation is not the same. You have a dream, but you're working that
mm-hmm.
9 to 5 every day
mm-hmm.
trying to just pay your bills. So sometimes maybe that first product might not come out, you know, the way you want it to, you
mm-hmm.
know. But then, like you
mm-hmm.
said, once you come up a little bit and you're able to make a little bit, turn that money back, you know, into the projects and say, okay, this time I'm going to pay, you know, a better editor. I'm going to get a better typesetter
mm-hmm.
or a better cover
mm-hmm.
designer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then as your work progresses, you can go back and you can edit even the work that's already up. You don't say, oh, well, it's
mm-hmm.
out there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well,
yeah.
you know, I'm making that Kindle check, so I really don't care. That's all a part of the hustle and making sure
mm-hmm.
that we hold the high integrity for
mm-hmm.
our genre. You know what I'm saying? Taking,
yeah.
you know, turning that money back inside and, you know, putting something to the side to travel, like JM said, to travel and to meet
mm-hmm.
these regions. And because that they love that. That's like, that feeling is like no other feeling, you know, to get out
yeah.
there and have them hug you and, you know, tell you that they inspired and you know, that whatever
mm-hmm.
that is that they give you when you see them, it's like it helps you to just go another day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't feel like writing
yeah.
no words. But you go to a book signing and then come home, you be like, oh, I'm going to pin something tonight. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's
yeah.
very good. Like, you know, early on, my very first book cover, first of all, my books was not even back for the first year I did a Harlem Book Fair. They were not going to be back from the printer. I went to Kinko's, and I think I printed like 1,000 copies, and it was a lot to print 1,000 copies, and they might have like a little binder on them and a plain white cover. But when my next cover came out, and I got that out at the book fair, and, you know, so many people at the time, you know, it was a few like little reader boards or whatever, you know, they
mm-hmm.
were reaching out to me. My next cover looked like an actual, you know, the old school notebook, the one they cost about 75 cents now, and that's what I had written my book in. So I did my cover like that, and it had red lettering. So even
mm-hmm.
though I loved that cover, me and Shannon Holmes were standing in the bookstore one day, and he's like, listen, this cover dope. I get your concept, everything. He said, but at this time, you know, more books are going to come out. You know, Triple Crown had a good, you know, roster book. It was a guy in Atlanta, had some books out. I can't even remember the name of his company. But anyhow, he held my books up to those books that were out right then, and he was like, come on, who book you think they're going to pick up, yours or theirs? So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, we went back and redid the cover, and that's the cover, like, it's a green cover, and I'm like, you know, got the money in the Harlem skyline, and I'm on it. I'm on the front of the cover. And so
mm-hmm.
that cover popped. And so, you know, that was money for the photography, money for, you know, the graphics and everything. And then, you know, moving forward, you know, now it has the pink cover that Atria gave it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's the best cover. That cover is beautiful. So,
right.
you know, definitely, you always have to, you know, that cover, I always tell people that cover is so, so important. Don't, you know, if you can, and you can afford some good graphic artists now, because, you know, with technology, people are stepping up their skill as graphic artists. Like,
yeah.
I love Vita. I love everything that Vita touches at, you know, all
oh,
graphics.
She did track 1 and 2. I love her to death.
Uh-huh, yeah, my God. And I commented on Nuance. she put up, you know, the cover up for Wahida's new book, and I was telling her, you know, that cover is dope, and, you know, I always recommend that when people, you know, ask me about graphic artists, and because your cover is so, so important. That's the first thing people see, and you don't want to be cheesy or corny, and just because your, you know, your little cousin, baby daddy, you know, got a little art program, and he's throwing a little stuff together, like, if you really serious about it, you know, this is what you want to do, you're going to have to, you know, wait till he get better and throw somebody else and let them do that first cover. You know, don't always try to take the cheapest route and don't spend no money if you got it. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking merely like you can get some of these graphic artists now for a couple of $100. You could go on Craigslist and people, you know, all these students, you know, college kids who putting up good work and they don't want number like, you know, 50 or 60-something dollars. Just for, you know, some quality graphics. You just, like, if you really, you know, seek out and research, you can find what you're looking for at a, you know, a good price.
Yes, and it's good that you mentioned college students because, you know, I work with a lot of them, and a lot of college students are doing internships, and that is a good way to get things done and accomplished. You have college students that are into theater. You have college students that are into graphics. You have college students that are English majors. Who are trying to do some extra on the side to earn them a couple of dollars, or, you know, they have to do a big project so that they can graduate in their field. And if you go to the different colleges and you go to those areas of expertise, you can get help if you can't afford, you know, the big printing and the big, I mean, not the big editing and different things like that. You can use college students. So that's a little tidbit, you know, for new authors who are out there who are trying to get their projects done. But I will also say, you know, take your time and save up. You know, give yourself a period of time. You say, okay, I can't afford everything at once. So what I'll do first is I'll get my editing. Okay, boom. Now you done paid for that. And it might take you another month or so before you can get your cover. And another month before you can actually have it typesetted and everything. But it behooves you, you know, to take your time and put the quality out there so that you have, you know, the longevity. And you're putting the best product out there, like JM was just saying, something that you can believe in. You know, when I get my book back from G Street or from Wahida, like the covers is all shiny and pretty, and I'm looking inside and everything is fine. I mean, you feel proud, like you standing there selling your work and you got your chest out. You know, you're like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Look at this. This is a good quality piece of work, and your confidence is up when you're pitching, you know, when you're pitching yourself and you're pitching your brand. So yeah, you definitely do. That's a definitely good part of the hustle. But Amber, we got an 862 on there. Could you let them in? They might want to have something to say to Danielle or CN.
862, good evening. You are live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, my phone was muted.
Are you with us now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Did they hang up? Did they leave?
No, they right there. They must have hit mute on us again.
Okay.
862.
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
You might have to put them back on hold today.
Yeah, I'll put them back in the queue.
Take another call, though.
No, the other caller just hung up. I guess we didn't get to them in time.
They said it was impatient. It was like, I'm not doing this with y'all. This is, I want to talk to them. I see a 347, Aaron. You see a 347?
Yeah, that's
That's us? That's all of us?
No, that's June.
Okay, well, I guess everybody else is listening. So we're going to continue
on.
I
have a question.
Go right
ahead. I have a question for CN.
Okay.
I'm here. Okay. This is Leisha. Now, since they were just talking, Danielle was just talking about, her and Nene were just talking about branding. And by you being a new author, what advice would you give to new authors that are coming behind you on how to really keep the integrity of their brand going to protect them, you know, to protect their brand. What advice would you give them?
I mean, you have to be confident behind your work, behind your product. So I would say the same attitude you come in with, don't let anybody deter you from that, because then they're going to see, okay, you're not even sure of yourself. So you have to always be confident in your work and your product and your books and your writing, all that.
Okay. All right. That's right. That confidence really helps you to stand out.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Because everybody's looking for a come up, so.
Right. Uh-huh. You have such a, you know, pretty much a high prestige to uphold, because they're looking at you like, okay, mm-hmm. she's saying that she's Ashley's protege. Like, what is she going to do? So what are you doing differently to stand outside of Ashley, you know, to be able to say, okay, yes, I am on Al. I am looked at like Ashley's protege, but you still are CN. So what do you have to do differently to, you know, not get swallowed up in the I am coming behind Ashley?
I mean, I try and keep my work as original as possible. Like, everything I do, I don't feel like I really I mean, of course I have to try, but at the same time I feel like the way that I write is different from any other author.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So really it just comes down to keeping my work fresh and original. And people, when they expect me to do something that they didn't expect. Oh, with The Last Kings Part 2, like, oh, they might have thought this was going to happen, but I wanted to do something completely different. You have to throw several twists. You have to just show them that you aren't what they think. When, mm-hmm. like, right when they think you're something, you have to show them something more. It's like,
okay,
you have to raise the bar with everything. You can't just stay on the same coast. You have to raise the bar every single time.
Okay, and I agree with that. And let me ask you this, you know, being young and being in the game, and you have your little princess, you know, in years to come, you know, she looks up and she's like, Mommy, what did you do? You know, like, and you explain to her, what is it that you want her to take away from this experience or this portion of your journey?
I want her to know that dreams do come true. I would never, ever deter her from following a dream. Like, the way that people made me feel when I said that I wanted to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm glad that I was able to do it, because now she actually sees that you can do what you want to do as long as you believe in yourself and you put forth the effort. Like, I want her to look at a bookshelf full of my books and just be able to go to school and say, my mommy's an author. My mommy wrote this book. My mommy wrote that book, you know. Like, I just want her to... I'm a dreamer, so I would love for her to be a dreamer. I want her to follow her dream.
Wow. That's powerful. Yep. And you're setting a perfect example for her, and it's commendable, you know, because not only do you have this hustle, because this is not the only thing that you do, but you also promote literacy, which is very, very important for our children. You know, there's such a conception that, you know, Black people don't read, or we're not into reading, and, you know,
oh my goodness,
we are,
that's the most annoying thing.
You know, I had a young person tell me that at a book signing the other day. She was in there with her mom. Her mom was getting books, and she turned to her, and somebody asked her, well, what do you read? And she said, I don't read. And I said, oh, I just cringe when I hear people say that, because I told her, don't you ever say, I don't read. Like, say, I don't read much. Say, I don't read that. But never tell somebody, I don't read. That just goes all through me. So, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I think Tony has a question for Danielle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned earlier that the cover is the first thing a reader sees.
Mm-hmm.
And I so agree, because if I don't like the cover,
mm-hmm.
if the cover doesn't catch me, I lose interest. You know, I'm very visual when it comes to my book.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you kind of get the story in your head when you see the cover. That could just be me, but that's how I look at a book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to hear an author say that cover is so important, because that's your first link to your reader.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we always say don't judge a book by its cover. And it's like, well, that's exactly what, you know, people are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you said, it's visual, because, like, sometimes the cover is what, you know, like when, if you see a face on a cover sometimes, that's kind of like, you know, what you'll visualize that person to look like. Or, I don't know, like, when Jaquavis gave me the cover for The Conglomerate, and then he's like, you like it? I was like, oh, I like it. I love it. I mean, it's just like, he hadn't even read the story yet, but the cover kind of exemplifies everything that I knew my story was about. And, you know, the things that I had already written. And that cover is like a, you know, it's a grab your attention cover. And it goes, you know, with the storyline. So if somebody's into that, you know, and they like to read glitterati, you know, luxurious urban fiction, you know, type books, when they see that cover, they're going to be like, I wonder what that's about. That's a mean house on the front of that cover. So, people, like, that everybody judges a book by its cover. It's just like you see somebody walking down the street, they ain't looking right. They could be the, you know, nicest person, or they could, you know, have money and ain't thinking about you, but what are you going to do? You're going to be a little boy, like, you're going to be timid. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to approach that person. You're going to lock your doors, or, you know, or cross the street. So that's the same thing with a book. Like, did that book grab your attention, or did that book, like, make you say, well, I don't want to read that. That looks whack. And that's what people do, you know, before they even flip over the back of the book. So the cover is everything, you know. And with that said, like, some stuff, like, okay, like, you need to take Pussy Trap. Like, okay, you did that. You know what I'm saying? That cover, like, that grabs your attention, you know, the title, everything about it. Everybody, you know, and I know you. It has to be a million people that come behind you and bite it. Or, you know, try to say, like, oh, what name can I make more shocking? How can I make my cover more graphic? Like, being more graphic, you know, or trying to, you know, find something to top it, you know, trying to find something vulgar to top it, is just not, you know, it works for some people. And I don't want to offend anybody to say, you know, people with short attention spans or something, or people who are, like, just, you know, there for the moment, that would grab it. But, like, you stand alone with that title and that cover. And then, you know, and it's just almost like, you know, let her have her moment, let her do that, and let me think of how I can do something different from that with my cover and my title, and think about it. But, you know, people now, they just want to, like, basically, I want my cover to look like that, and I'm going to find, like, whatever name. Like, you know, like, it's a million titles if you look on Amazon with bitch in them now. And it's like, it's just nothing, like, you know, original about it. And it's like, you couldn't think of nothing else. And, you know, I bitch hole every type, you know, graphic thing. And I'm like, Jesus, do I have to be 100 of y'all? Like, you know, let that one person have that, you know, that moment, and that's them, and it stands out. But when there's a million behind it, it looks crazy. Like, the Amazon list look crazy with all that stuff in it. But, you know, I don't want to offend nobody or step on nobody's toes. I'm just saying, just think outside the box when it comes to your covers and your titles.
And I agree. And usually when I pick a title, when I pick it, I put it in Google, and I put it in Amazon, and I try to see if somebody else has it, because I've come up with a ton of titles plenty of times, and then I plug them in, and then it comes up, and somebody else has it. I don't touch it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want it. You know, I want originality, and I want what's mine, and I never want to step on anybody's toes or do anything. Like, for example, me and Blacktop ended up with the same title. We don't even know each other, but it just happened. You know what I'm saying? And it happened around the same time. It wasn't nothing that we could help. But if I would have plugged it in and still his, I'd have changed it on the spot, because I would have wanted him to get that glory, you know what I'm saying, and to have that, because, you know, everybody deserves their moment in the sun, you know.
Yes,
so
it does.
Yeah.
It does happen. I promise you it happens. And it just, that's like another, you know, this industry or this genre needs to find is, like, integrity about titles and covers. Because long ago, and, you know, Vicky, wherever she is, she could attest to this. Before Deja came with Bitch, you know, Vicky is my agent. I was telling you, I had this book I want to do, and I've even talked about this later down the road with Deja, because I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, it would be cool to include her, because she has the Bitch title now. But when I came in, I had a book that I was working on called Rich Bitch. But then when Deja did Bitch, and, you know, and let's remember, Jackie Collins did the original, The Bitch. So Deja did it. It was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna fall back off that, because that's, you know, that's her. She, you know, she carries that, And it just kind of, like, just with so many of them floating around now, it kind of takes away from that, and it just looks like somebody's, you know, trying to see who can come up with a, you know, more graphic or crazier title. When we have, you know, there's so many words out here that you can use, we have an extraordinary vocabulary, why not, you know, pick something else? Because this is, like, you know, a word doesn't have to be, you know, vulgar or provocative to stand out. Like, it used to be a word, like, you know, people, you know, not think about, and it'll stand out. Like, come on, the conglomerate, what does that sound like? You know what I'm saying? But some people are like, okay, it's different. Like, I had to, you know, some people are like, I had to go look that up and see what it meant, you know.
And it crosses over well. It crosses over well, because if you ever want to make it to the Walmarts and different places like that, it won't happen. Like, I already know that I'm not going to see Trust No Bitch in Walmart. Like, I've opened it up and I've received it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's not politically, you know, correct for what they'll have. And even with the pussy, why he done went to shop which books would go, they was like, well, if you change to such and such a so-and-so, but Wahida was like, no, we just won't be able to put this one in because it has to stand the way it is, because the title alone is what sells the book, and then when they get it, it's fire. So, yeah, if you think about having longevity or reaching some of those places, because those major distribution houses are very picky, and they're very particular about what they'll put out, you know, and when you come and it's the same, like, You can forget getting into some types of major distribution. Retail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're closing the doors. On that. Go ahead.
And it also depends on how many books you sell. Okay, because let's say, okay, Trust No Bitch. All right, that's cool. But then, come on, I promise you, somebody's going to have Pussy Popping Bitch. It's coming. So it's like, okay, really? But just, as I say, like, it depends on how big your name is. You know, Walmart won't carry these other titles, but they sure got Poor Little Bitch Girl up there.
Okay.
So you see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's kind of how you work the word. Because, I mean, like I'm just saying, like, this stuff is like the what you mix the curse word with, you know, and which is like always in my mind, I always kind of think, like, what is a curse word? Like, these words not in the Bible, is there, you know, but it's like, you know, we're trained, it's ingrained in us that they're vulgar words. But it's kind of how you use them, you know. Like I said, like, you know, you got rich bitch, trust no bitch, you know, something, you know, kind of subtle. But then we got, like, ghetto ass bitch, ghetto ass hoe. Like, it's like, are you serious? Like, really? You know.
You know what, Danielle? I want to ask you a question, like, kind of like segueing right off of that, because I wanted to ask you this earlier when you were speaking about, you know, well, people not really being able to write. And what's going on? Do you think that the generation of readers have evolved into an audience that really can't digest the literature from yesterday? And I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about yesterday, like your day, like just a few years ago, like maybe like between five and 7 years ago.
You know, honestly, I can say yeah, and I won't say okay. No, you can sit. I'm sorry, y'all. You can sit out here with mommy. Just have to be quiet, okay? It's funny you should say that, because I was just awestruck at a review that I got on the Circle, which, you know, the Circle it's a novella. It's not it's a basic novel. You know, it's not a super novel. It's like maybe about 50,000 words, and somebody said that it was too long. And I'm like, too long? I was shocked, like, it's too long. Like, you can't sit and read this, you know, many pages. Well, I'm used to people telling me that they read a 70,000-word novel that I wrote in one day. And but you said that the Circle is too long, and I'm like, that's crazy, because I know what that is. That's like a, it's coming up from all.
It's like
people,
a basic novel. It's just right up from, like, a novella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's not long. Like, what are you talking about? Like, novels, this is my thing, too. Okay, you know, and I get a lot of people who say, oh, my God, you know, you were gone for so long. You know, and sometimes it wasn't that much time in between my first book and my second book at all. But, you know, maybe my third and, you know, now my fourth book, it was a couple years. But if you look back to the earlier generations, you know, people didn't drop books but every 2 to 3 years. And, you know, took time, and then, you know, and they came back with, you know, max novels, like 100,000 words. So it was like, you can't sit and read 50,000 words. You think that's too long? Or you spoiled by e-books? But it's kind of funny because you get some people who I see, they like, hey, I'm tired of these 99-cent little short books, and you keep just stringing me along. So, I think, you know, a lot of people are wanting to get back to, you know, the full-length novels. But as you say, yeah, because some writing is very simple, so they don't want to take the time, you know, for it to be complex. And
exactly.
It's not that, you know, yeah, and I don't want to ever write over, because I've seen some people, you know, trying to, like, maybe kind of cross over, and so they think by writing a whole bunch of big words and complicated sentences that they're growing, and that's not true. The thing is, like, I don't want to say I've dumbed down my writing, because I don't ever want to dumb down my writing for anyone, but it's like a formula with me. It's just make sure it's well-written. I just want my delivery to be well-written, but I want to keep you, you know, enthralled in the novel. You know, it has to go hand in hand. But, like, some people feel like dumbing down, like, even as a narrator, like, you know, they got a curse and say, you know, just crazy outlandish things and talking slang. And
you're talking
basic
slang like crazy.
Yeah, for that novel to get it. And, like, you know, I had a conflict within myself, and I kind of, when I sat back and read some books maybe in 2011, and I was reading, and I was like, wow, I like the way they narrate because it's still their voice. So, like, I struggle to stay within my voice, as, you know, I had an editor, Atria, tell me one time, like, you know, you're not really urban anymore. You're, you know, you're more commercial. So, you know, kind of, you know, watch your voice a little bit. So there I, you know, was, like, not really the story to me, because I sit back and I read my books like a reader. Like, would I read this? You know, would this be a long, you know, something I would like? So when I was reading it, it was like, no, you clean up your voice too much. Like, I'm not trying to be down or be cool or, you know, everything be hip-hop. But what I wanted to be is still to be, you know, fun for my readers to, like, you know my voice, to feel like they're sitting down and, you know, I'm telling them, if, you know, they're homegirl, I'm telling them a story.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be basic, and it doesn't have to be, you know, Yvonne. You know, let your characters talk in slang. And then oftentimes your characters, you know, they don't have to be, you know, talking and slang and talking dumbed down either. Like, you know, because every conversation I know with, you know, people who, you know, are from the street, it ain't, you know, a whole bunch of slang and bonnets, because, you know, I know a bunch of intelligent people, you know, who come from the hood or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
right.
That's
we
true.
That. Yeah, thank you for that. Aaron, we will go ahead and shout out. Dan can go first. Shout out where we can see her next and what's coming up out of her camp. And then we'll let Danielle close us out so that we can wrap it up so we don't get them caught up in the dead air.
Yes.
Dan?
I'm here so I get to shout out people.
yes, ma'am. Go ahead and do your shout outs. Where we can see you next, what you have coming up.
Okay, so next up I have, of course, the Pride of Plantosa. Be looking out for that July 12th at the Harlem Book Fair. Of course, I want to shout out my family and my sister and my cousin who's here with this crazy child. But you guys can find me on Facebook, Sian Phillips, same thing with Twitter and Instagram. And I'm usually always posting what's next and, of course, promoting everything. So follow me. It's fun.
Thank you. And Miss Danielle, where can they find you at, and where we see you next?
You can find me, of course, on Facebook, Danielle Santiago Cofield, and then it's Danielle Santiago fan page. I'm on Twitter, Santiago's Way, and Instagram, Black Jackie Collins. As you know, the conglomerate is out right now in the Circle, Silent Story. And, you know, I love everybody, and thank you for going out and getting and supporting it. And the reviews and inboxes and stuff, I truly appreciate them. And I'm just, you know, glad that you guys appreciate it. I'm, you know, working on other stuff right now. And I think I'm in Chicago on April 12th. I'm not sure. I got to call Ashley and ask her. But I think that's my first signing at the Chicago Library. So I'm not sure about it. You know, don't pencil me in, but I'll post it. And when I know for sure, and I'll post my other upcoming dates when I'll be moving around the country a little bit.
Well, thank you very much.
We appreciate you hanging out in the clubhouse. We definitely would love to have you ladies back when we get another hot topic coming. Thanks for sharing your spirit with our readers. And y'all get one cooking. And tell your little princesses we said thanks for sharing their mommy. And y'all have a good evening.
Okay. You as well. Thank you for having me.
All right.
See you guys. See you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
See you. Bye, Danielle.
Bye.
Good night. Good night.
All right, Leisha, we're out of time. Could you just go ahead and drop that?
Hey, you about to hear the most incredible shit ever written. Hard spitting, cigar splitting. Pray to your God and to them words in the biblical scriptures. Critical benchmark, close to the shit that just fits me. Lord, when the best auto that money could buy me. The best damn mommy, Def Jam, stomp me. Ho, should know they'll never compare to my status. Nothing matters, I'm the fucking baddest. Bang, it's worth it if you got money to match it. I'm hotter than acid and don't even practice. Yeah, guess I got it at birth from my mama. Ew, nana, real drama. See, I ball till I can't know I'm covered by maggots. I'm straight spazzing and let y'all have it. Flash.